Okay, so let's go to Chet Vav. Guys, okay. Fascinating sugyas. Let's go to Chet Vav. So, Chet Vav, okay? So, the mitzvahs of this you should remember from Sunday, which feels like forever ago, right? Where
unless
we did.
You weren't there Sunday.
Unless you weren't there Sunday, because you don't remember it. That's not my problem. Fine. So, the Mishnah says as follows. Te'enim shel shvid ein kotzin otan b'mukteh. Right, so the principle, as we're going to see, is that, again, the problem that we're going to deal with, that the Gemara is dealing with, as we will see, is what? Is that the Torah, on the one hand, says that one of the malachot is kotzer, right, is harvesting. On the other hand, you're supposed to eat it. And last I checked, you need to harvest it in order to eat it. And therefore, the Gemara is going to, the Mishnah, the Gemara is trying to struggle with it and saying, okay, what that leads you to, ineluctably, is the conclusion that that you must be able to harvest in some way, that some type of harvesting is usher, and some type of harvesting is winter, right? And some sort of shinui is going to be the most natural way for them to explain how it's mutter, right? I have this kid's book of, you know, like the 39 Malachot book by yeah. Other Rabbi Chait, cousin of these, of our rabbis, Chait,
the,
right?
The
right, you know what I'm talking about. The 39 Malachot book, the one that was, you know, made famous by Steve Carroll on with Jon Stewart, yes, years ago, before your time. But yes, when Joe Lieberman was on the ticket for vice president, Steve Carroll had a piece on the on Jon Stewart of how we're not ready for an Orthodox president because of the Malachot of Shabbat, and brought in Baruch Jade's book, and then talked about how obviously it's going to be very bad when he has to winnow. And then went page by page, winnow. He went through all like the random malacha that nobody, and talked about all the times that the Vice President of the United States would clearly have to winnow. Fun times. I'll show it to you afterwards. So, not important. So right, Avram Stav and his wife made a similar book for Shemitah in Hebrew. And it has there a picture of a girl trying to get an orange by doing a handstand and pulling it with her toes, right? Maybe I'll bring it in for you guys. But the point is that the Mishnah has to assume that there's some type of kosher that's going to be butter and some that's usher. Okay? So therefore, the Mishnah says that you can cut it bimukta, which is the normal kli, avalkotsu becharba, but you can with a smaller one, with a knife or something like that, right? And if you remember, we saw, right? You remember this, right? When Ray Haber showed you like the bigger ones, right? The scythe, and then you know, instead of the scythe, you can use whatever. You can't use that.
You could avoid this whole problem by just taking bite from fruit directly on the tree.
Of course, that's the other option. You could climb up the tree and just bite it off the tree. That's a great idea, Mordechai.
But they're like bite the fruit off. Just bite
it. I'd like to see you try it with a watermelon. Just dig your head down into the thing. It's very easy. So that's in terms of kotzer, right? But then the Mishnah continues. Vein dorchem manavim begadav al dorchu bareva. The same is true of other stages of processing, such as the making into wine. So if you remember, right, this was the Mishnah that Rei Haber specifically showed you, that you wouldn't do it in the industrial-sized one. Remember that was, the one with the mosaic? Yes?
Yeah.
And the mosaic, you wouldn't do that. You would do it in the small one, and same with the olives, right? Where, which will forever be known where Sammy dropped his phone.
And where Sammy.
And where they found it. Amazing. People at Neok, amazing. What? And the Sami was done. Yeah, okay, good. So now you have images in your mind. And that's the next part of the Mishnah. The Ein Osin Zeitin Bivad. You can't make olive oil, or you can't give olive oil again in the large sized one, right? And remember, this we actually saw both the big one and the small one. Uvikotvi, right, with that big piece of wood. Yes, that was what Simon was walking around with, right, as the simulated donkey. The first one was the bad, was the olive one. The second one was the. Right, the first one we went to was the olive one.
The wheel was the bod,
and then the one with the mosaic was the wine press.
What's the kotvi?
Right, what? So the kotvi was next to it. Remember, there was a smaller one.
It was like with a roller.
The circle, right? The circle one with like the roller this big, right? That's the kotvi, right? The big one that you needed that had the screw on it. That was right. That's the bod, right?
So wait, is the bod all the wheel and that?
The bod is that big area with the whole room. It's the big collection container. It's the big tool, right, to use it. And the small one, which is because this side, that's the code fee, right? Okay, good. Now you're happy. We saw it. You know what I'm talking about. If you didn't see it, the point is you can't use the industrial size. You can use the non-industrial, right? Fine. I know you weren't feeling well. I got it. Fine. We'll show you pictures later. Aval kotesh umachnis libodida, right? And you're allowed to put it in a small one. So remember, he showed you, right? There's the big baskets where you put the olives that are crushed, the pulp that comes out, and the smaller ones. Reb Shimon Omer Aftochen Ubeved Avad. Reb Shimon says you can even grind it in the Ubeved Avad. Umachnis libodida, as long as you don't collect it in the full size. Meaning he says you can do the crushing. Right, you can do the crushing and the pounding in the full-sized one, but the collection, right, then you collect it into the baskets. You can't use the industrial-sized basket. You have to use the smaller basket. Okay? Fine.
So the final step for injection one, right before it's going to become olive oil, you have to...
Exactly, right? According to Shimon, the earlier stages do not need the same machinery, and the later ones do. Okay?
So what about the first thing, right, like the atomic combo, when it's talking about all the other things that you... They were obviously told that you couldn't use the smusher thing,
yeah. That's the professional. Yeah, that's the official terminology. The smusher thing. Technical, yes.
But like, why would they stop?
Well, the technical term for the grape crusher is your feet. That is the very technical term, your feet.
So my question is, why would you stop there?
The things that you would never do, like post COVID, you know, yeah. like right before COVID, we went to like the wine festival. And in the Gush, and you know, to show kids how they make wine, so you go pick the grapes, and then they take all these little kids and put them in a pot, and say, here, the grapes that you pick, and then they have them stomp on it with their feet, and then give you some of the wine. And it's like, first of all, that's disgusting in general, but in COVID,
bakhlal.
I mean,
no, but like, you need to wash your feet a lot.
Yes, all the parents dutifully. I was there, okay? I made my kids clean their feet. I'm not sure everyone else was so. Yeah, I think it's just people. I think people are just more cognizant of the fact that you don't really want to be eating people's.
I mean, so doesn't wine have like some alcohol?
Yes, if you wait a few weeks till it's wine, then it will kill the germs. If you're saying the kids, look, here's the grape juice you just made with your toes. You know, it's like.
I don't know what that. I don't think it's that bad.
You're right. None of them died. Thank God.
These kids are climbing trees that could potentially like kill them. Like, I don't know.
Yes, I know. They're kids. They're Israeli kids. I know.
He said that the danger was that people might slip and fall.
That is also dangerous. Well, yes. Obviously, if you put 25 kids in a slippery thing together, that's quite dangerous. But whatever. Yalla.
But yeah, so my question
it was fun
is,
though.
Why is it that the tonic combo doesn't draw the line? Like, they draw the line at the poundy thing, the pressing thing, and good. Not
so,
before that.
Okay, right, so in the Mishnah, so David's 100% correct, meaning everyone here seems to think that there needs to be some sort of shinui, right? And yet, they draw the lines in very different places, at stages, and right? So our goal in understanding this whole section, again, I'm not going to answer the question yet, is to figure out... what shinui is required at what stage, and why would you argue about it? Okay, that's the goal for understanding this whole unit. Okay, but let's look at, before we get into detail, let's see the principle. Okay, right? Because the Mishnah doesn't explain the principle, the Gemara does. And the Gemara says, Ktiv. What's the basis for these distinctions? Ktiv. Etzefiach ketzircha lo tiktor. Right? And the rest of the pasuk is, vet in vein zirecha lo tiktor. Right? You, on the other hand, so what is the right? What does Gemara seem to be saying? Right, it's not really clear. Right, meaning the Gemara says, why can't you do this? Right, why can't you cut normally, harvest normally? Because you're not allowed to harvest. Now, what's the obvious problem? You are allowed to harvest. Yeah. Right, the Gemara doesn't say. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Hakitzira keneged hakotzrim lo. So Amar. So now, what's the problem? Right. The problem is the Gemara jumps straight into what? Svichen. Right. The Gemara jumps straight into Svichen. Why Svichen? Right. Meaning, why Svichen? Because the Gemara jumps to. Why did the Gemara immediately turn to Svichen before anything else? Well, what are Svichen? Svichen are afterthoughts. I mean, things that grew of their own accord during Shemitah or grew in the sixth, right? Why? So tell me, why does the Gemara turn to Svichen? So the reason seems to be, and again, let's just sort of get down the Gemara and then we'll sort of fleshing out, is that Svichen, if you assume, again, well, as we'll see, Svichen is machlok in the Tanoim, whether it's Doraita or Dorabaran. Rabbi Kiva thinks there's an Isra Svichen Doraita, Tanakama, Red Chum say no. The reason that Svichen are a good case to turn to is that, or let's say that one of you decides to be evil and plant cucumbers during Shemitah, okay?
No.
So the problem was, right, before we even get to the problem of Ketira, you have the problem of that you planted it, right?
Yeah.
Svichen isolates the problem of Ketira. And therefore, it's a good place to turn. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rebbe, Rebbe La, and who's Rebbe La?
Rabbi
Elah, very good, because we just dropped olives, not olives, all the olives. Yeah, everything except for the lama, one lama. Yes, I know, but I told you that this is the problem in a certain translation that you were showing me, where the person translating didn't realize this and translates Amar Rabbi La, which is Rebbe said no. It's like, no, that's not what it means. Stupid.
But like,
yes, Amar Rabbi La, just like Amar Rabbi Ba. Rebbe said, come. No, he didn't. Rebbe Abba said something.
This is what
right?
happens when you use Ashkenazi. You just lose all the letters. Like, what is this Safi
Shiva? Are you saying you're Safi Ashkenazi?
No, I'm saying the what? People who wrote down this Girsa were Ashkenazi. Well, and they screwed up the Yerushalmi.
I think so. So I'm Rabbi Law, I'm Eno Enya the Sviche something. Right? Let's take the Girsa corrected head there. Today, Enya the Sviche is. And Amar Rabbi Mana lekach nizkos shalom aleihet, right? So the Gemara clearly says that what we're talking about is where it grows by itself. Shalot Amar hol ve'alum elenu v'tarn lefun kain sarach lemar aser. Now we're going to do this. We're going to do the Gemara out of order. We're going to focus on the Mishnah's primary case, which is the Shinoi, and then we're going to come back to Svichen, which is a very important sugya. Okay, but let's start. Right. So the first point of the Gemara introduces the possibility that this sugya is about Svichen. It's about aftergrowths. Okay, let's bracket that for now. Then the Gemara says, "Ekit et sviach kitzorcha lo tiktzor, that in vain is irecha lo tiktzor." So then the Gemara says, "Min hashamur ba'aret in atabotzer, aval atabotzer min hamuvkar." So now the Gemara introduces a second factor, and that is that there are two more isurim that you have to deal with in Shemitah, and that is what's called shamur v'ne'evad. What's shamur v'ne'evad? Shamur are things that are guarded, and why aren't you allowed to guard? Because it has to be hefker, right? And ne'evad is worked, okay? Right? So now, what the Gemara introduces, and again, this is going to play out in the Rishonim, is that there is some sort of connection between Ketzira, and the Isser Ketzira and Betzira, and the Isser Shamur. Or in other words, the Isser Ketzira is a function of the Chiyuv Hefker, right? In some way, right? What? Yes, you would think, except some kotzer is mutter. So the Gemara here says something which connects the Isser kotzer to shamur, meaning to a lack of hefker, and permitted kotzer to non-shamur, meaning that which you kept hefker with, yeah. Right? And what we're going to see in the Rishonim is they try to figure out, well, what is the connection between the Isser shamur and the Isser Kotzer and the heter of kotzer, right? So it's a fiyak etzel to grow dizrech alot tivtzor. Min hashamur baretz ein ata botzer. Botzer ata min hamuvkar. You cannot do bitzira from that which was guarded, but you can from that which was not. And that's, so the first hint we have in the Gemara is that the Isra bitzira and ketzira are somehow affected by shamur, right? That's point one. Then what does the Gemara say? What's point two? Lo tivtzor kederech habotrin. Don't cut, right? In the way that you normally harvest.
That's connected to someone else,
right? Well, that's the question is, wait a second, right? The Gemara now has introduced three factors here. One is something to do with Svichen. The second is that the Itzer, Ketzira, and Betzira is somehow affected to whether or not this was properly hefker, right? Or improperly shamward. Okay, yes, I understand that neither of those are words. Right? That's not the point. Right? And then the third is it introduces something of shinui. Now the question is, well, how is that connected to the previous line? Right? Is this a second factor? Is it explaining the first factor? Right? But it introduces this idea of Kedera Kabotzer. And Mikan Amru, based on this idea that you're not allowed to harvest the way that you normally harvest, Amru to Einim Shal Shvien and Kotzin Otan Bemuksa, Vo Kotzu Becharva, and Dorchan and Avin Began, Avo Dorchu Ba'areva. What?
In those cases, the pasuk, what the pasuk was talking about.
Well, because now it's going back to the Mishnah, right? It's using the Pesukim to explain the Mishnah.
But I'm saying, why did the Mishnah itself use the
Pesukim? I don't know. And then the Gemara says, Ein osen zeitim bevad uvekotvi. Right? And then the Mishnah continued that you're not allowed to make the, right, squeeze the oil in the bod, but you can in the kotvi. Right? Sorry. In a bod or a kotvi, rather. Rabbeinu hitiru lasot bekotvi, and Rabbi Yochanan horil ilin Rabbi Yonai litchon berichayim kishita Rabbi Shimon, and then the Gemara goes back to shita Rabbi Shimon that Rabbi Shimon said you're allowed to process industrially as long as you don't collect it industrially, right? And then the Gemara tells you that Rabbi Yochanan passed that way in the context of, right, in this context, he passed Rabbi Shimon mechain. And paskin that you are allowed to use a kotvi like the rabbanon, right? And then the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan hori li'ilein debate Rabbi Yanai, right? Because the Tanakama of the Braita thinks that you're not even allowed to squeeze the grapes on a kotvi in the smaller one, right? You need like a mamish small one or something like that, right? And the chamim allowed, right, or something like that, exactly. Rabbi Yochanan hori li'ilein debate Rabbi Yanai shlo yinuklin schar badehen meha shemen ela bima'o. And then the Gemara turns to payments. You know what? We can probably stop there. But since you saw this, remember what when Rabbi Haber showed it to you, right? So you would have the person whose job it was, right? He ran a bad. Right, because the average person didn't have a bod, right? So you would pay. So there were two ways that people would pay. How do you think people could pay?
With money or with what they made?
Exactly, right? Some people would pay with money and some people would pay with a percentage of the oil that they produced by using the bod. So in this context, Rabbi Zera said, don't pay with oil, pay with money. Okay, right? So the second half of the Gemara then transitions to issues of payments, and we'll come back to that afterwards, okay? We're going to come, that's going to be an issue of payment. So we're going to come back to the payment point. Okay? Right, you don't pay, right? Normally, in a normal year, you might pay with what you produced. Here, you're not going to. Okay?
You can't pay with your receipt.
But isn't mode like a blanket business thing, though?
Yeah, but, okay, so we'll come back to it. I mean, it makes sense, obviously. It's a function of Mr. Schora, but we'll come back to it, okay? Yeah. Okay, good. Fine. So with this as background, right, we now understand the problem, right? So this is not a problem that only the Rishonim struggle with. What I gave you is, right, like I said, like for this one, I gave you the Moreno one because I want you to understand, right, let's try to get, right, some of the Shita down, then we'll plug them a little bit into the Rishonim, but let's get, right, because again, already in the Mishnah, this is the problem. So let's take it up, okay? So again, the problem is, let's look back at the Pesukim. Okay, Uvashana Hashvi Shabbat Shabbaton Yihela Aretz Shabbat Ladonai Sad Chalotis Ravikar Mechalotis More. It's if you have Kitzur Chaloti Tzor, but in vain is Yerechaloti Tzor. Shnat Shabbaton Yihela Aretz, Vaita Shabbat Aretz Lachem Lachol of the Chalam at Chaloskir Chavadu Shabbat, Lutoshab Chal Garimi Machlem, the Chal Chayashab Aretzachat Yechol Tuata Leechol. Okay? The obvious problem is.
How are you supposed to eat without harvest?
Right? How can you eat without harvesting? On the one hand, you can't harvest. On the other hand, you're allowed to eat. Right? That's the problem. Now, we saw it in the Mishnah. What's the problem in the Mishnah? Right? That sometimes in the Mishnah, it's not exactly clear what the problem it's responding to is. Why? What's the difference between... what's the Mishnah's job? To present the law. Right? What Tanaitic work is doing what the Gemara is doing here, which is to figure out what the problem is that generated the halacha? The Midrash halacha. Right? So here you have the Sifra. The Sifra, remember, also known as Torah Kohanim, is the Midrash Alachan Vayikra. Yeah. So it is dealing with the problem that says, in vain is Yerechalot Tzor. So now you understand where the Yerushalmi gets it from. Min HaShamur Ba'aretz Ein HaTabotzer. Avalat HaBotzer Min HaMofkar. Oh! Where did you see that before? 5 seconds ago in the Yerushalmi. But guess what? The Yerushalmi is quoting. Now you, right? It's important to realize that is the Yerushalmi making up the Drasha? No, it's quoting on the Tanaitic source, not the Mishnah, but the Sifra.
Is there a difference between Mokhtar with the pay and the bays?
No.
What does it mean with the
pay? Same thing. Same thing. Pay and bays are sometimes interchangeable.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
what? No, Ad Hayom. Well, no. You guys did the north. Oh, you didn't do the north yet. Okay. So if you when you go up to the north, you'll find there that there are a bunch of rivers, right? That in Hebrew are called one thing, and in Arabic called the same thing. You just switch the bet and the pay because they're similar letters, and therefore in Semitic languages often they change. So Arabs in Arabic they don't have one of them. I think it's the
they don't have
is the right. Okay, so it's the like the Binus River. You'll see that, right? Just the Pinus or the Binus, right? So that's where it comes from. So lo tivzor kiderach abotrim mikanam rutenim shoshvein and kotzen otzav buktava kotze hu bechorva and dorchan avim begad al dorchan bareva inosim jaitim bevado bekotze yav a kotze shemachnis lebedida shomer avtochin hu bevado machnis lebedida. Right. So first of all, first thing to note is that the Yerushalmi is. This is not really a Yerushalmi, it's really a Midrash Halacha. Now that's beneficial for us to know because that means that even the Rishonim, who don't always engage with the Yerushalmi, right, this is not a Yerushalmi, it's a Tanaitic source, which the Yerushalmi quotes in full. Right, exactly, right, we're going to get more Rishonim who deal with it, right, and the Mishnah, as we already saw, right, brings the Halacha without the Drasha component, right, Te'enim Shoshviyat in Kotzenot Abamukta, Vakotzer Vacharavav, and Darchanot Danavim Vigat, Aval Darchu Bariva. Okay? So this is the problem. So now what we need to do is put these factors together and figure out, okay, well, what do you do? And, right? Like, we're not going to do a million shita. We'll do five. Okay? Maybe we'll do more, but let's start with these five. Okay? Let's start with the Rambam. How does the Rambam understand the sukkah? So who wants to take the Rambam? Okay? Kobe, you do. You look so awake. You look so awake. I can't even see your eyes. Oh, 5 hours. Is that? Are you saying that is a lot or a little? What?
It's a lot.
It is.
What does that mean? That's a lot.
When I was in yeshiva, 5 would have been great.
Yeah, 7.5.
I'm so happy for you.
Wow. Yeah, Josh is great. How? I get like about 6 hours.
Okay, respectable.
I'm.
I mean, nobody wants to stay the night seder until midnight, so I just go to sleep instead.
Midnight? Who stays to seder until midnight? I never finished seder and usually until 2:30 in the morning.
Nobody wants to stay at least until
midnight. Hey, if we had seder until 2:30 in the morning, I would go.
You want to go with Chavrusa?
Yeah.
What, every single right, day? Right.
I had a Chavrusa. What do you mean? I had a Chavrusa. I had multiple Chavrusas. I had my night seder Chavrusa, my post night seder Chavrusa, my post night seder Chavrusa.
I would be fine doing that. I would have a lot more coffee, but I would be fine doing that.
We'll try it. We'll try it.
Fun times. Okay, good.
I'll keep my late night
Chavrusa for now. Yeah, why is it going to be harder to do that? Why you? I only did night service at midnight. Because then I had to do work.
Yeah, you
gotta
go to Christian and realize
what you don't like. No, that was just where I did it.
I was in good.
It wasn't all of Yeshiva. There was a group of us, about 20 guys.
20?
Maybe 30.
I don't have any.
Gosh, it's about 500 people.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
Why? I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, fine. So the. Okay, who wants to take the Rambam? Kobe. Oh, you're so excited. Okay. Yay, you got to do the Rambam. Yay! Okay, go. Go. Go on, Rambam. Yeah? What does the Rambam say?
The intention of this is that you need to change and not to deal with the Parashvias like the way you would deal with them the rest of the year.
Good. Rambam says the main point here is Shinoi. Now, how does he know you need a Shinoi? So now he explains, what is the Yerushalmi getting at? What is the Sifra getting at, right? What is the drasha? And he says it very simply, right? It's not 100% clear in the Sifra, but the Rambam makes it very clear. What does he say?
This is because Hashem said the wild grapes you shouldn't prune. And you can't say that this means that Hashem is saying that it's completely usher to do pruning. Because it already made it mutter for you to eat them when it said the Shabbat Haaretz should be for you to eat. The only thing it intends to say here is what was explained by the Sifra. You shouldn't prune like the way that people usually prune. And based on this, they said that for the figs of Shias, you can't cut them with a fig knife.
So very good, right? So the Rambam says it's very simple, right? How do we get here? We got here because, again, on the one hand, right? On the one hand, you're not allowed to do katira, you're not allowed to do katira. On the other hand, you're allowed to eat it. How are you getting the fruit? If you can't cut it, you can't harvest, you can't do anything. You can with a sheep. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Then how come you can do all the other
stuff? What?
What about all the other stuff?
Now, first thing I want you to notice. Now, the Rambam sounds very simple. He's quoting the Mishnah. He's quoting the Yerushalmi. He's quoting the Sifra. Is it so simple?
No.
No. Why? What did he do? What did he do? What did he do that's striking that you almost miss if you don't pay attention? Remember I said, what does the Yerushalmi do or the Sifra do? It has two different factors, which might be one, might be two, and that is somehow the Isser Ketzira is limited by Shamur Venev, right, by Shamur. And the second is Derech HaBotzrin.
Yeah.
And what does the Rambam do? We don't know if he puts them together. What does he do? He mentions one of them.
Right.
He only focuses on the Shinui and completely gets rid of the Shamur thing. Now, some Achronim were so bothered, and you see the Harchavot, I didn't give it to you, but you see the Harchavot here?
Yeah.
It says Harchavot. So, if you go to the Harchavot, you'll see that certain Achronim, like the Menachem Sanoch, are so bothered by this that they don't believe it. That they think the Rambam held of both factors. Because how could he not?
You can't show like you
are. Oh, very good. Very good. Hold that thought, right?
That's what we've been learning.
Very good, 100%. Right? But the Rambam, simple pshat, is either he does not believe the first clause, lahalacha, right? That he doesn't think there's any connection between the ketzira and the isser of shamur, right? He just thinks it's a function of shinui, right? Or he thinks that somehow the Gemara's discussion about shamur is really a function of kederach habotzer, right? And somehow assimilates it. Now, Kobe says, how would you read that? Good, so Kobe, now explain to me why, if you read the Rambam, pshuto kimashma'o, that he doesn't think there are two factors here. There's one. That the only real rule is shinui. Why would he say that? So Kobe says, why would the Rambam do that? Why might the Rambam assimilate the two answers, seeming answers, into one answer called do it with a shinui? Very good. Right? Is that one way of understanding it is exactly as Kobe said, which is maybe the Rambam thinks there's really one rule. Remember I said this, I told you a few weeks ago.
There are two ways of looking at the same
exactly. Thing. Remember I told you this exactly, right? I said, here's a principle that will carry you through many sugyot, including Ketzira. What was that rule? Which I told you we used Rishol Yisraeli. That there's one real rule in all Shemitah, only one, and that is don't act like an owner. Right?
So these are both.
So, exactly. So you could say that what is it saying? Shamur is a violation of not acting like an owner. And harvesting in the normal way
is
a violation of acting like an owner. And it could be that that he really thinks that either he thinks that we reject the first one, or he thinks that somehow it's going to be a hard read, right? But it's assimilated into. No, he does. There is an Isser Shamur. Oh, yeah. So that's part of the Minchas Chinuch thing, is why the Minchas Chinuch thinks he might believe it. Now, it's clear that it's usher to be shomer, right? It's usher to be shomer. That's clear. Does it affect the Isser Ketzira directly is the question, right? The symbol of the Rambam is it doesn't, right? But it could be that either this line is somehow, either we reject the halacha, or it's you have to reinterpret it, or you have to assimilate
the problem
it, right?
Is that if you, that there is a way to do Ketzira in a way that connotes ownership. So,
right, and so, but it could be, right, but it could be the Rambam is saying, no, in this context, we don't even mean shamur. We mean you can't act like an owner, and the way you do that is by doing the normal
ketzira. Why would shamur be tied to ketzira? Zero is like,
so we'll
clearly an outbranch of Nineveh. That's my question. Like, I don't understand. Shamor
so we'll see. Let's see it when we get to the Rishonim who actually take that position. Right? We're not there yet. The Rambam seems to either ignore the first clause in the Gemara, right, and the Sifra, or assimilate it into Shinui. But at the end, the Rambam's only principle is Shinui, right? Right? And therefore, for him, there is no difference between Shamor and Mufkar.
Yeah.
All things, all produce that is harvested during Shemitah must be done with a Shinui. That's all. Right? And that's what he says. If you look at the Halachot as well, in Perek Dalet, he says, HaPirot, Sheyotzi HaIlan B'Shvi'it, the fruit that comes out during Shemitah, Lo Yasvim Kedach Shosef V'Chol HaShanah, don't gather them the way you do all year, Shnei Mar, in vain is Yerech HaLotitzor, V'imbatzar La'avodat HaIlan, O Shabatzar Kedach HaBotzrim, and if you do, right, you are Botzer in a way that you're working the tree, right, or the normal way, Moke, right? So the Rambam tells you, he adds here that not only is it Asr, it's Asr, meaning it's a lav. Right? It's a lav. This is the Isser of, when the Pasuk says, don't do this, this is what it means. If you do it in the normal way, that's when you violate the Isser and you get Malkut, right? Right? You get beaten. Woo! Right? You lash.
We look Kobe.
We look Kobe, yeah. Just for like demonstrations.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I can take the... 30.
No, I'm a doctor. You can take out my
job. No. You need to learn the halakos of the 39
we'll masters. We'll have to assess whether how much you can handle.
Maybe no, but you can give him up until what he can handle. So we can still lash him. It's not, you know, until he dies.
No, but you have to assess first. The Gemara says you have to assess how much you can handle
and then
give
round
down to the lowest thing divisible by 3 and then give that.
Oh, it's divisible by 3?
Yeah, because it's because it, you divide it between...
You assess how many he can take before he dies and then you just divide that by 3?
No. You round down to the
so
number. If he can handle 20, we only give him 18 because
we've got
to divide them between the front and the back, right? In ratios of 2 to 1.
I think we take 100, so let's just
no,
do
maximum
it.
Is 39.
Well, so round down to 39.
That has nothing to do with being.
But right now, I have no reason to beat Kobe, so we're not going to beat Kobe. Right?
Yeah.
We don't beat him. For fun. So then he says, then the Rambam says, V'ketzat oses, so how do you do it? What is the shinui? Te'enim so shvi'id, en kotzen otomobuk. So, avo miyapson b'charava. Lo yidrochan avim begad, al dorchu bareva. Lo yasad din b'ravad, al kodesh u'machnes l'toch bad katan, b'yoter, b'tochan b'ravad, v'kotev u'machnes levad, l'bad katana. V'chein b'sharad marim, kol shiachol l'shanot m'shaneh. Right, you change whatever you can, so you don't. Cut it with the big cutter, you don't dry it in the big drying blaze, you don't crush it in the big crushing blaze,
yeah.
Right, etc.
Look, he doesn't
okay,
more, like,
right, so as Bezalel points out here, right, so there are 4 points that are important to note in the Rambam. 1, he thinks that this is a drasha, not an asmachta, right? Right, how do we know? Because he says you get malchut, right? So he says this is actually defining the context of the law.
Oh, man,
we're not going to get into that now. Meaning he thinks it's a real drasha. Right? That this drasha is the actual drasha which defines the parameters of the Isser Katsira and the Isser Katsira, and that's why if you don't do the Shunalei, that is the Isser Katsira, you get a Malka. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay? 2nd point, which we already noted in the Mishnah, is that the Rambam thinks that this theme of Shinui isn't only on the harvesting, but it's on the processing. Right?
Yeah.
3 is the Rambam again, does he seem to accept the first distinction in the Sifra or the Gemara of the Yerushalmi of the difference between Shamur and not Shamur? No. Right? And the 4th point...
Well, according to one interpretation. According to the
Mishnah. Right? And then the 4th thing that is very strange in the Rambam is that he seems to say that even if you do it with a Shinui, it will still be Asr Midoraita if you're doing it for the purpose of Avodat Ha'ilah. Of working the tree and not to get food. Right? The Rambam sort of slips that in.
So it's
right?
Neva.
Right here, exactly, right? The Rambam seems to introduce Neva. That's right.
Mm.
Right? Is that the Rambam seems to think that if I'm doing it for not for the purpose of food, then it's automatically Asr, even with a Shinui, because that's the Asr of Neva, of working, right? Of Ovid, right? Those are the Mocha, right? Right? So the Rambam is saying these 3, right? The Shinui only helps if what? And where would the Rambam get that very intuitive distinction? It's actually very intuitive, but where does he get it from? Because remember, what did the Rambam say in the Perashah Mishnah? What drove this whole halacha? The seeming contradiction between the fact that on the one hand, you're not allowed to harvest, but you have to harvest to eat. So what's his answer? That you can harvest to eat with a shinui, right? But that means that since the since the stira, right, the contradiction that drove the heter was driven by the assumption you can eat, there is no similar contradiction in what? In a case where you're not intending to eat and all you're intending to do is work the tree, right? And therefore, shinui doesn't help you in that context because, right, the whole shinui thing was, right, was derived from the fact that there has to be a way for you to harvest it to eat. But there doesn't have to be a way for you to work the field, the tree, not for the purpose of eating, right?
The point of shinui is from that on. It's like we're using a shinui to show that you're not working it.
Correct, but if you are, exactly, right? Meaning, it's there needs to be a way for you to eat, right? Right? But there doesn't have to be a way for you to work the tree for the sake of the tree,
right? It's like a twofold thing. It's like, yes. So they're both part of Neva, so why
are you trying to work? Well, no, but Neva just means it was worked. Neva means it was worked. The work we're talking about is Kotzer, right? And his point is, if I do that work with a shinui for the purpose of eating, that's not the Isser of Avoda, right? If I do it for either for the sake of the tree, then a shinui won't help because I'm doing it to work the tree, right? Right?
No, but...
No, we're going to come back to Nevad. Nevad doesn't mean the Isra Malacha. We're talking about Isra Malacha now. Nevad means that that which Malacha was done to now has Isurim that attached to it. That's a different story, right? We're not talking about Nevad yet, right? In the way you're thinking about it. Okay? So now...
Why is the Isra Malacha attached to Shama? That's what I don't understand.
Because you're giving...
According to him, there is. It is not, right? According to him, that's not connected, right? The Rambam never mentions that connection, even though it's in the Sifra. Now, Kobe said, well, so now, Kobe, you will have your vindicated moment. Kobe said, well, why does the Rambam say this? So repeat what you said. Because really, there's only one rule. What's the one rule? You can't act like a Baal, or you can't act like an owner, right? And therefore, once you do the shinui, you're not. Where does Kobe get it besides from his brain? Where does he get this beautiful svara? I've said it a ton of times, so where did I get it from? Because that's what the Rambam himself says. Look at the next source. The Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvot, says, "Hu sheizarnu me'asof masha yatzmichoy lanot min ha'peirot gam kein b'shana shvi'i k'mosha ne'asof per din b'chol shana." We're warned against harvesting the way we would in a normal year. Aval naseh oto b'shinui, but you do it with a change. L'horot shehu hefker, to show that it's hefker. Right? V'hu amru in me'edekalot tzar. So, there you go. So either he has another source, or this is how he understands the Sifra. I know it's hard. I understand, and that's why the Minchas Chinuch rejects the whole thing. I get it.
The Rambam is like the authority.
So now, right? Okay. But now we got to figure out, but what is the shinui? Okay. So the Rambam in Dalet Aleph says that what's the shinui? Quantity. Okay? Right? So look. Right. Now, where would he get the idea that quantity is the shinui? The simple pshat in the Mishnah that it says do it in a bod and don't do it. You can't do it in a bod, you can do it in a koteva. Right? So look at the Rambam in Dalet Aleph. He says, "V'zeshnem are it's viach kitzur chalot tiktor shelo yiktor kederach shekotzer b'kol shana v'im katzur kederach kotzer loke kagon shekatzar kol asadeh." What does it mean to do it? If you harvest the whole field. Now again, we can add to this. Well, actually, no. What does this remind you of? Very good. Is that remember the Rambam? The Rambam said, what's the line between Asr Sora and Mutter Sora? Quantity. Right? For the Rambam, what makes something Mutter Sora is small quantity. What makes it Asr is large quantity. Right? The Rambam seems to have a consistent position here. Right? Which is that which makes something Asr is big quantity, because that makes it industrial. Right? That makes it shown ownership. If I'm doing it in a small quantity, so how did the Ritva understand the Rambam? Right, the Ritva formalized it to three meals, right? But where did he get that idea? Because what is the Ritva? How does the Ritva explain it? Right, for the Ritva, what is small quantity?
Ownership for yourself.
Right, meaning, right, the Ritva said, right, what the Ritva said is that what you're allowed to do is eat. What you're not allowed to do is express ownership. Right, that's the whole key, is that L'Achla is mutter, but it's Hefker, right? And therefore, if it's a small quantity, then you're relating to it as that which you are going to eat, but that which you were eating from Hefker. When you start dealing with large quantities, you're saying not that I'm allowed to eat it like everybody else, right? Because if I go with Kobe and Josh and David and Mordechai, right, and we all go to what is my field, right, and I take a few, well, I don't have a lemon tree in my backyard, so I take some lemons. It's not growing any lemons either. It's not being very successful. Hopefully one day. It's only 2.5 years, so. So, it was planted already, but still. So, but if I go in and I take 2-3 lemons because I need it to make lemonade, I need it for hummus, I need it for whatever, right? And, of course. Yeah, lemon juice is a very standard ingredient in hummus. Yeah, of course. What? Please. Oh my god, you make me ill. In the real mass produced one. No, I mean in like a homemade one that you make. Oh my god.
That's not real frozen pizza. What's wrong with
chickpeas? Okay, how did you get from I make hummus to I grow the chickpeas?
That's what homemade means.
No, that's homegrown. No, that's homegrown, it's not homemade.
No, that's not what
you're right. You're right. When people, you're right. When someone says, I'm sorry. When someone says, come to my house for a homemade meal, you think that means that they grew the wheat?
Yeah, nobody says homemade meal.
Okay. They have yes, they do.
Everyone also has a farm in their backyard.
Exactly.
Okay, Josh Shaw for 1 second. Has anyone ever heard someone say that something is homemade and they didn't? Has anyone ever
maybe
heard that
like
phrase?
For
ever?
Those words?
Good. Did those people ever mean homegrown?
I mean, for vegetables. A very small minority.
No, no, no. No, that's not what I asked. Did the people who said homemade in the context that you heard it assume that that also meant homegrown? So, like, when someone makes, like, a home-baked, you know, when someone gets a cake, not from a bakery, but they made it at home, right? You don't automatically assume they also grew the wheat.
And the chocolate.
They're probably using cake.
Yes, and the chocolate.
And the cattle.
And the cocoa beans.
And the Grabby.
So if I get like some wacky mac from the store and I thump it in the pot and add in the cheese powder, that's homemade meal?
Okay. If you make pasta at home, that's one level of homemade.
That's homemade
when,
wacky mac.
When you, it's wacky mac. When you make the pasta from scratch, from flour, right? It's more homemade. Do you hold it against?
Why is there levels of homemade? It's either homemade or it's not.
No, actually, no. There's a whole history to this. No, it's not. It's not binary. And there's a whole history to this, too.
So, no.
You're wrong. Yes, there is. There's a history to how they played with people's psychology to deal with this. Yes. Yes. There's a whole history, a psychological history to cake mixes.
No. I've seen
much,
yeah,
much
I've
more.
I've seen the Dan Ariely
TED Talk. Yes, exactly. Dan Ariely has done a lot of the work on it. He loves this. So the dry ingredients, right? It's so much
better.
Yes.
All they need to do is take out the eggs and then. And then
people liked it because they felt like it was homemade. Yes. Because all you need is a little bit. That's right.
Okay.
Ask my wife. I don't get it.
Did you buy a can of.
No. No, dry chickpeas. Yeah. Which you then soak. Yes. Aura's aunt used to make it. It was really good, but she was like really. Oh my god, it was like so potchky. I couldn't deal with it. I can ask Aura. But like Aura's aunt, when she used to make it, before she passed away a few years ago, but when she used to make it, she not only did she, you know, get the dried chickpeas and soak them, but she took this, she peeled, she took the skin off every chickpea because it gives it a different taste. Do you know how annoying that is? Yeah. Ura makes all this a lot. Growing up, I didn't do this at all. It's like, you had, like, you know, dips, you bought them. Ura makes the hummus and the tchina, and she kashers her own liver and makes the chopped liver, and then...
Okay, that's, like, insane.
Yeah.
Healing the chickpeas, kashering the like,
yeah.
No,
so Ella, kosher. Anyways, the Rambam continues. Ella, kosher mat chovet ochel. You cut a little bit and then you eat it. The Rambam at the end of the parak, right? But again, this does seem to be consistent for the Rambam that quantity is a key determining factor in whether something is related to industrially, right, and therefore usher or not, right? Okay. When you get to Halacha Chavdal, at the end of the parak, the Rambam says, Mitzvah atzei lahashmi kol ma shetotzi ha'aretz b'shvi. There's a mitzvah too, b'mafkir, which we'll have to come back to. Shnemar v'shvi, tishmiten and nitashta. V'chol no'el karmo. V'sag sadeh b'shvi, b'tel mitzvah tzeh. If you lock the door to your, right, to your kerem, etc., then you violate this mitzvah. V'cheinim asaf kol ha'pera l'toch beito. And if you gather all of your fruit, you also violate it. Yafkir hakol yishvim mafkir, v'yad hakol shavin shnemar, v'achlu av yonei amecha. V'yesh lo la'avi l'toch beito ma'at, k'derech shemim efkir, you can bring a little bit in your house. Chamesh kadei shemin, chamisha asar kadei yayin, maybe yoter mizem. Okay? Now, the Rambam here repeats this idea, but I think the Rambam here might answer the question on the Yerushalmi problem, is why did he ignore the first half? Right? Because it sounds like, right, what does the Rambam say? Right, the Rambam here says there's a mitzvah to be mafkir, which as we saw for the Rambam, the mitzvah to be mafkir is linked to this idea that you can't, right, is linked to the idea that you have to do a shinui, because both of them are about not acting as an owner, right? But what does the Rambam sort of hide in there? Shamur, right? Shamur. Because it could be that, what is the Rambam really saying? There's one real rule, which is, be mafkir and don't act as a bailumen. How do you violate that? Either by shamur, meaning preventing everyone from coming in, but what's the other way you could violate it?
Harvesting a lot.
Because, think about it, I think what the Rambam is going to tell you is, what does the Sifra mean? Don't act like a bailumen. What does it mean to act like a bailumen? There's two ways you can act like a bailumen. One is, lock everybody else out of your field, or take all of it for yourself, right? The only way to act not as an owner is to let other people in and only take small quantities for yourself so that there's stuff left for everybody else, right? And therefore, that might be how he reads the drasha, which is, right, meaning minashamu, right, that to take everything is another way of, right, to be kosher everything is another way of violating Shamur, right?
Isn't Shamur also like saying I'm claiming everything for myself?
Right, that's exactly what he's saying. He's saying there's two ways you can claim everything for yourself. How is it? Locking everybody else out of your field or taking it all into your house. Right, and therefore at a certain level he might just say there's really one rule, and that is don't act as an owner, which means be mafkirit, which means don't prevent other people from taking it because you're acting as an owner. And there's two ways to express that. Either by being shomer, by stopping people from harvesting, or harvesting in large quantities.
So, according to the Rambam, let's say you have like three apple trees, so you have like five apples growing right now, and you take all of them.
That doesn't matter, right? Or that's what he says. That doesn't matter, right? Because as long as it's a reasonable amount, that's for your meal.
But then you're taking everything. So.
Correct, but he, okay, yes, but I'm allowed to eat like everybody else. So if there happens to only be enough for one person.
No.
It's that you, right. It's that you can't do it industrially, right? Okay. Right. So very, very quickly, let's just finish up here, right? So again, right. We saw the parish of Mishnah of the Rambam, right? Of the difference between the big one and the small one. And we saw it physically at the tour. Okay. Now again, what's odd about the Rambam is the Rambam, while he says shinui, right, he only ever talks about shinui in quantity. And I think that the reason is because of what we just said, that for the Rambam, what does it mean to act as an owner is to prevent other people from having access. Mm-hmm. And the way you can do that is either by shamur, by stopping them from coming in, or by taking a large quantity for yourself, rather than taking it in small amounts like everybody else, right? And the truth is that the Rambam never really talks about any other shinui, right? The only shinui he ever mentions is quantity, right? And that's the Chazon Ish Paskins, right? Mutar l'laket b'hem l'achila, right? You're allowed to collect for food. Avalo yikad arbe v'adachat, but not a lot at once. Avaloket kishir sh'adam meichen b'beitol, tashmish b'neveitol, yamim mu'atim. Right? He says, what's the amount? What does the Rambam mean by this? Take the amount that a normal family needs for a small amount of time, right? Not like the Ritva, which is three meals, right? He does seem to have a bit more of a subjective standard, but his standard is, listen, how much does a family your size need for a normal amount of time? Right? Now, what does normal mean? I don't know. Right? Meaning, you could sort of say, right, it could be something like, listen, if I normally shop every, you know, every week, right, so taking the amount for a week is, right, that's how often I go shopping, right? So could it be that it's different? It could be that, let's say, someone who lives in the city, right, and doesn't have storage and doesn't have big supermarkets, doesn't own a car, right? Right, so they tend to shop every 2-3 days, right, and buy, do small shops, just what they need, right? So they'll only be allowed to do 2-3 days worth, right? And someone with who lives in the suburbs and has 5 kids, right, and does a stock-up shop every week or every week and a half, right, will be allowed to stock up for a week or a week and a half, right? It could be that it's more subjective than the Ritva, yeah, right? But that makes sense because the point isn't this amount is also this amount is mutter. The point is...
it's a relative amount.
Right, you're allowed to collect that which is plausibly the amount that your family needs, right, and shows that I'm eating, not that I'm acting as an owner. I'm not allowed to take more that is industrial.
Okay. So, is there showing ownership in somebody else's field then?
What?
Is there such thing as showing ownership in somebody else's field?
Because oh, owners. So, right, so the, right, but anyway, what's clear, what's clear according to the Rambam is that there's not really a chiyuv ashinui. What is there? A chiyuv to not act as an owner, right? That's what the Rambam says, it very, right? And if you just look at the sikum, and then we'll finish with the Rambam for today, right? The sikum shidat Rambam, yisur lo tiktor lo tiktor einam osrim erak tzira betzira. Right? This doesn't forbid harvesting. Sherei Torah matira lechol yivol, because you're allowed to eat it. Hagdarat ha-yisur hu, what's the definition of the yisur according to the Rambam? Asiyat kol pi'ula ba-yivul ha-bashel moreal ba-yivul. To do any act with the ripened fruit that shows ownership. Ikara shinui anidrash, therefore the change is really, it's not to do it in a different way, right? Not to cut it in a weird way. It's to use what you need at that time. Right? And again, that might be how the Rambam reads the drash on the Sifrei, right? That, not that there's only an Isser of Kotzer on Shamor, but that the prohibition against shamur and the prohibition against kotzer of large quantities are coming to the same point, mm-hmm, right? Which is be mafkirit and don't act as an owner. And again, yes, as I noted, the fact is the Rambam here, just like in Schora, thinks that the number one qualification that will show you whether you're acting like an owner or not is quantity, okay, right? Yeah. And he says that in both places, so he does seem to have a very consistent view. Okay, that is the Rambam, and as we'll see, there's at least 4 other shita and rishonim that we will. That we will address, but this is how the Rambam understood the Drasha. Okay.